You're listening to Mom and Doc Talks, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy.
I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talks, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. In the last episode, we talked about the first few follow-ups, remedy changes, and Jody's first big wow with homeopathy and how she really connected with the fact that homeopathy was working, even though she had some challenges and struggles. And today we're going to talk about the struggles. We're going to tell you very upfront what a healing pattern with homeopathy tends to look like when we're dealing with pans and pandas. And this can apply to other things as well that have complex chronic illness. But this is specific to pans and pandas, like these patterns that we're noticing I have seen. It's not something that like I learned in school or I learned in any of my training. These are things I picked up on over observing hundreds to thousands now of kids with pans and pandas. So we're going to talk about all of that, as well as from the mom perspective, we're going to talk about learning about homeopathy through the process while your kiddo is also healing, and how you navigated the ups and downs of the journey that also made you feel sometimes like it wasn't working. So if it's okay with you, Jody, I'll start today to describe what the journey typically looks like, and then you can walk us through how you navigated the journey. So healing with homeopathy, I always say, I wish it was like riding an elevator where you just get in and you push the button, you say, I want this remedy, and it just takes you to the top, and you are at the top is where you're fully healed. And it's just a really straightforward thing. It's definitely not that. I would even take if it was riding like an escalator, where it takes longer, but you're constantly making progress toward the top. There's no ups and downs. It's just consistent upward trajectory. Unfortunately, homeopathy is not like that either. And the reality is anything with healing, anything that is sustainable, where we're actually training our bodies to do things on their own and to not need additional outside forces, they take time, and there are going to be plateaus and setbacks and things like that. And the same is true with homeopathy. So the typical pattern that we're looking for with homeopathy in general is 2 to 3 steps forward and then 1 step back and another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. So it's if you were hiking a mountain is what I always like to use as the example, because I'm a hiker. And so we're making progress toward the peak, where the peak is ultimately what our goal is, full healing, where we don't need to take medications, supplements, or even regularly take homeopathy to maintain a place of health. Just like with hiking, we're going to have ups and downs along the way. And even when we have a little bit of a down in hiking, we sometimes appreciate that because it gives us a break. It gives ourselves, our muscles and our lungs, a chance to have an easy part before they tackle that next big uphill. In homeopathy and healing with pans and pandas, that little downhill doesn't feel great because it's harder. That's the harder part, where we're having a little bit of a backslide of symptoms or not responding as well to a remedy, and we need to make an adjustment. We shouldn't see tanking all the way to the bottom, but that does happen occasionally, or it can feel like it, even if it's not truly back to where you were at the very beginning before ever starting homeopathy. It can sometimes feel like that. And part of that, I think, is because it's hard, right? It's hard to see your kiddo doing better and then feeling bad again. And it's hard for like the bad place to not feel as bad as the worst place. And I can share, you know, personally right now, as of this recording, I'm dealing with some actual pain. And I can share with you that like, it's hard for me in the moment to not think, man, this is just, it hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten any better at all. But the reality is it has, because I'm not having 12 out of 10 pain every time I get up to walk. I'm having more consistent pain, but it's a lower level. And it's really a lot more manageable and less interfering in my life, because, you know, I could have an emergency right now and I could get out, like there could be an earthquake and I could get out of this building quickly. Whereas before I would have been stuck because I couldn't move because of the intensity of the pain. So so we have that 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back. We're always dealing with things that happen in our environment, like we said in the last episode. So we have to make adjustments to remedies. And sometimes things can be maybe not have the same response as we'd seen previously. So we might have a remedy where we're like, we get 4 or 5 steps forward and things are going great. But then the next remedy, we only get like 1 or 2 steps forward, and it's not as profound or as marked or noticeable as it was with the previous remedy, but there are still changes. And that can happen for lots of reasons. It can be where you're at in the healing journey. And we'll talk about the second half of healing in a little bit here, but we'll talk about it even more in the next episode. And or two episodes from now, I think. And so it can be just that there's not as much movement that needs to happen. It could also be that there's a lot of really stressful things happening or a lot of frequent exposure. So for instance, even if somebody's been doing homeopathy for a year, but that year started in the fall when school started. And so you could be doing great over the summer because there's less stress and stress increases inflammation and these kids are reactive to inflammation. And there's less exposure to bugs and there's just fewer bugs in general and like less close contact with lots of germy kids. You get back into school and you have a regression because you have a lot more exposures and maybe you need to change remedies a little bit more frequently. You're not getting it quite as far with each potency as you were over, you know, June, July. But that's not just because the remedies aren't as effective anymore. It's because there's a lot more that you're dealing with that the body's having to fight against. And so it runs out of steam and it needs a little nudge earlier because it's just fighting a lot more things. Mm-hmm. You can also have something that could come up that would be a really big drop. And we'll talk about that specifically in our next episode, where you think you're doing great. And then there's a really significant event that causes a pretty bad backslide. In Pans and Pandas, we actually call this we're starting to call this the last hurrah, because we see it as a pattern that happens again and again and again, that the body has a really strong pattern of healing over a long period of time, doing really great. And then something happens and there's a really bad backslide that's like, you know, 8, 9, 10 steps backwards. And it really feels like we're back to where we were when we started. Is this what's happening here? And that usually ends up being why we call it the last hurrah, very close to that end point of healing. It's almost like the body expressing its last bit of susceptibility that it's got available to it so that we can address it, tackle it, and give the right nudges so that the body can finish that healing process. So I have learned to start celebrating the last hurrah, even though, holy cow, that was hard the first few times that it happened before I realized that this was a pattern, and recognize even that it happened with my own healing. So I've talked an awful lot so far, Jody, and this was one of the really challenging things for you, because those ups and downs really made you question whether it was working a lot. So how about you take over and talk more from the mom's perspective of what that healing journey feels like and how you navigated it in those tougher moments?
Yeah, I feel like I always go back to like my not understanding, my lack of understanding and my expectations. And I wish that there was some way I could have had the understanding then that I do now of homeopathy, because at this point in Avery's healing journey, I still didn't understand that her body had to do all of this. Like her body had to, we were just encouraging it, but this was how her body was going to work through healing. And by continuing with the remedies, that we were going to continue that healing. But this part of it was so hard for me. There was, you know, like I said in the video before, that there was just a lot of, we would do one thing, kind of get it figured out, and then we would change, and then we would go back into a little bit of figuring out. And I was seeing little bits of improvement, but then we would go backwards, and I didn't understand. Like literally every time, aggravations didn't feel great for a while. And then regressions, whenever it was coming up on time for a potency change, when she wasn't having as strong, robust responses to remedy, that felt bad to me, even though we were coming up on a remedy change, which would bring us back to better. And then in the beginning, the first like 5 or 6 months for Avery, she had multiple illnesses, and you throw an illness in there and it's like, it like blows everything up. The like figuring out that you've done and the pattern that you're on, you get a little bit comfortable, but then you add a sickness in, and then all of a sudden I couldn't tell how she was responding. I didn't know if it was coming from the sickness or whether it was coming from an aggravation or what the heck was going on. And then we would get past the sickness and we would kind of get going again, and we'd get on a little bit of a pattern where I dose, and then, you know, I would know what was coming and expect it. And then we went into to her losing a tooth, and that blew everything up too. And it was like, holy cow, this is even worse. She's worse. And I think with one of the times that she lost a tooth, she had some new symptoms pop up. And everything was just so confusing. I felt like I was in a washing machine, like, and every once in a while we'd come up and I'd be like, and then we'd go back down. And it literally took every single follow-up appointment that she had and you saying, but wait, this is happening a little bit less frequently. Or especially, I remember this with rages, because for a long time, it didn't feel better to me, even though things were shifting, because I was still like managing all of the things. Mm-hmm. And what was going on in my home was still really hard. Yeah. Now things were getting better, but it took you telling me that they were getting better. And then even when I started to recognize it, little bits and pieces, oh, okay, like instead of having 5 or 6 rages a day, she's having 2. I was still managing 2 rages with separation anxiety and you know, baby talk and all of the other like craziness that was going on. I was in a place where I was still getting very overwhelmed by all of the things that I was managing. So I fully acknowledge now that things were slowly getting better and symptoms were improving. But whenever I was there in that like first kind of half, I didn't really see it. It took us getting kind of further along and starting to get where we were just starting to do as needed dosing. And I was starting to see things stretch out. Like all of a sudden I went from dosing her every 3 days to all of a sudden it was every 6 days. And then it was, you know, once every 2 weeks. And slowly over time that just kept stretching out and stretching out. And then still the same thing, an illness would happen. You know, and she would lose another tooth, whatever it was. And then things would get confusing, but then further along, it would kind of take less time to like work our way out of it. And so there, it was just so much ups and downs. And again, now I recognize it as, you know, it was 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back. When we were doing it, that is not what it looked like. It looked like I was like doing a lot of underwater coming up for breaths. But it was slow and that's, it went that way. And that is what, like for Avery, that's what healing looked like. And maybe I'm thinking about what I'm saying. Maybe I'm talking from my own like mom perspective of how I was going through it. Because Avery moved.
That's what I was just gonna say is that we are going to talk all about that in our next episode, because the reality is this is not an individual as much as we want to think that like this is a kid with PANS and that this is. So this is just a kid with PANS, and like if we get the PANS under control, everything is going to be fine. But the reality is this is a system. It's a family system, and what's happening with one kiddo, what's happening with one person in the family is affecting everybody else. And so what's happening with mom is affecting the kid with PANS too. And so it can be one of the challenges of healing with PANS is that your kiddo is making improvements and doing a better job and like able to hold it together in more circumstances than before and having less outbursts and less issues than before. But the fact that their outbursts and issues are still there is hard. And sometimes when you get some relief, when they're there, it's harder mm-hmm. than when it's there all the time. But we're going to talk about that in the next episode. I want to touch on just a few things really quickly that I want to make sure that we get covered in like what the healing journey looks like. So as Jody shared, there was like a big regression. I want you to talk about that just a little bit more because it's relevant for this conversation where you had that devastating drop because when the tooth issue came up that you brought up, mm-hmm. You thought she was healed because we'd really stretched out. Like she was not needing a dose hardly at all. We weren't even having regular follow-ups anymore. And then she had a pretty significant dental procedure that needed to be done. And she took one of those plummets that was like 10 steps back. And in that moment, even though it was 10 steps back, but she had made probably 30 steps forward, the fact that she took 10 steps back felt like a significant precipitous drop.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? And we'll talk about also how you felt about it as a mom in the next episode, but let's touch on it a little bit now.
As far as her symptoms go, you know, she had that dental procedure, and after that, she just went in way, way backwards. It felt like to me that she was back at the beginning. She wasn't back at the beginning, but my own post-traumatic stress was telling me she was back at the beginning. And I thought it really honestly felt like, oh my gosh, we've done all of this work and it was all for naught.
Yeah.
And there was, nothing was worse. It was just things came back after that. And I remember that you were super, super like confident. You're like, okay, we just get back to work and we, you know, walk out some more healing. And you kept telling, what do you always say? You kept telling me, this is just showing us, what is it that you say?
It's exposing one more aspect of the susceptibility we haven't addressed. And another thing I always say is, if we've been there once, we can get there again, and we can reach a point where we stay there and that's where we live. So,
And that you were super, and I'm like, no, this is like the whole world is burning down. Like this is awful. This is the worst thing ever. All that work we did. And now we're going to have to do like a whole nother year to do it all over again. And that wasn't the case at all. It just felt, it was a hard thing for me. It was a hard thing for Avery too, because she was very aware, and she knew that it had come back, but we just got back to work, and you were right. It worked itself out in time. It took a little bit of time, but we worked her right back to where she was.
Yeah. And just to be clear about time, it was a couple of months before we got back to that place. It wasn't an overnight thing. It wasn't even a couple of weeks. It was a couple of months, but we got there really quickly, and it was still much quicker because at this point we had been working together for, I believe, a year-ish, maybe a little bit more than a year when this big backward slide happened. So a couple of misconceptions about homeopathy. Sometimes people treat it almost, or they want it to believe that it's almost like this force field that, like, once you start homeopathy, boom, force field is up. Nothing that was going to happen will happen. Like, we're just going to only move backwards through things that we've already experienced and heal. And so like this will stop and like we're impermeable here. That's not the case, because again, it's not forcing anything with the body. It's definitely not a magical force field. It is just a nudge to the body to heal. And so we aren't necessarily going to just like stop anything from happening. We have to navigate the shifts and the changes that we're going to see as a result of, again, things in the environment and the condition itself. Sometimes like we can slow the progression, or sometimes we even see it has to progress a little bit further so that we can get that full expression of the susceptibility so it can actually be addressed. One more thing I think it's important to touch on with like the healing pattern that I don't think we touched on, and I don't know that you really experienced this with Avery, because one way that she was a little atypical for a PAMS kid is that she had sickness symptoms that coincided along with her PAMS symptoms. So a lot of PAMS kids don't show signs of illness. They just have neuropsychiatric symptoms when they're actually sick. And so what we will typically see for those kiddos who have that more typical presentation, where they're not getting sick very often, they don't get fevers, they don't get stuffy nose and sore throats and all of that, but they will start to get that more, and they will get it all the time. Or if allergies are one of their triggers, because they have a more histamine presentation, they will go from just being really bad during a high allergy season with their neuropsychiatric symptoms to having typical allergy symptoms, or typical, you know, cold symptoms, whatever their trigger happens to be, or sometimes both. But it's just like, they're always sick, or always they're having the worst allergy season they've ever had. That tends to happen as we're seeing a more appropriate immune response that is still overactive. So it's a more appropriate response to an immune activation, but it's still being activated by something to a high degree, or treating something as if it's a foreign invader that shouldn't be treated that way. And so we tend to see this, like what I call the pendulum swing, right? So we've got the pans and panda symptoms, and then the body overcorrects and it has typical immune symptoms, but a whole lot of them. And then it eventually settles down where it's having appropriate immune system responses, but not like overdoing it or anything. And so that usually is when we're getting close to that healing point where we can have exposures to triggers and have little to no response to them and just have that typical healing response or that typical immune response that is a healing response because we're doing what our body needs to do to fight off the infection or the allergen or whatever it happens to be to get it out of our system so that we're not reacting to it. So you didn't really have that pattern, but we've observed that with a whole lot of other kids who have that more. It's like I said, the only way that Avery didn't have a really typical PANS presentation. So that said, you know, that's part of why Avery actually got to a healing point a little bit faster than the average, because she already had that mixed response, because you got from diagnosis, from onset to diagnosis to homeopathy happened in 5 months for you. That's it. It was 5 months from the time that you started having symptoms to getting a diagnosis to getting a homeopathy. So you were on the fast track, which is why it took you a little bit less time to get to the healing place that most people takes a couple of years plus to get to. It took you a little over a year to get there.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to share about what the healing journey was like that I left out before we wrap for today, so we can prepare for our episode where we're going to talk all about moms and dads and to them about their experience in the process?
I think going back to what I said in the beginning, just having the expectations that your child's body has to work through this healing thing. It's nothing that can be forced. It's nothing that can be like pushed or done with one or two things. Now it makes complete and total sense to me that, you know, Avery needed all, just like you said in the beginning, she needed all of those remedies and potencies, because everything built on the, each one built on the other. And I love that we have this big community now, because we are able to talk about homeopathy and share. Whenever I was going through with Avery, I thought we were the only ones going through, like we're the only ones experiencing this. I didn't have anybody to like chat with about it and say, oh, you know what? That's what my kid keeps getting better and then gets worse and then better and then worse. So I think that just knowing that exactly what it looked like for us is normal, and that is how most children heal. I hope that moms find comfort in that. I think that they do. I love that everyone could share how their healing is going and their experience, because knowing that that's how it works, it's what's expected, it's how all of our children work through this healing process. I wish I would have known that back then. Anyways, it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of back and forth. But it was totally doable. And I know we'll talk more about mom stuff, but it was doable. Like nothing was worse than what we were already dealing with. And we were totally fine. Like we did it.
I know that when you and I first started working together, you were one of my earlier PANS clients. And so I was able to apply the generals of homeopathy and how homeopathic healing occurs, and with a more specific or narrowed focus with mental health in general. So I was able to give you some information to help you understand what was happening, but having the greater amount of experience that we have now, and the, like I said, hundreds personally, thousands with the group all together, that we can really see these patterns that hold true again and again and again. The reality is, though, that even if you heard that from me, even if you had come to me and you were my 1,000th PANS client, and I told you that this was the pattern, you would have some comfort from it. And I'm sure that there is some comfort that, you know, just you need to hear it from another parent that's in the middle of it going through it, instead of like, you know, especially because so many PANS families have trauma from the providers that they've worked with before, not believing them, or, you know, it feels like gaslighting, feels like medical gaslighting sometimes, right? And like, you know, one of our members of the community said that PANS is the ultimate gaslighter too. So like in general, like PANS parents feel like they're being gaslit left and right. Like the things that they feel or they're experiencing, people are saying, no, it's not, that's not the thing. That's not what's happening. And so it can be hard to trust somebody who isn't living it, who isn't a fellow parent dealing with it. And, you know, who has a reason to want to keep you coming, you know, like a financial reason to like keep coming to visits. And even if something's not working or whatever, it can feel that way, that, you know, it can be hard to question or hard not to question those types of things.
Yeah.
So I'm saying all of this to remind everybody, because we haven't reminded people in a while, that we do have a Facebook group where we've got a large community of PANS and PANDAS parents and caregivers who come together to learn about homeopathy and to help each other through the healing journey with homeopathy. And so you're welcome to come to learn, or especially if you're already on the homeopathy healing journey yourself, to come and connect and collaborate with people so that you can get reminders when you're in the tough spots, or you can be the encouragement when you're in the good spots. And so the Facebook group is Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS. You can find us on Facebook, and we would love to have you there to help get some of the support that you need, especially if you need it right now before our next episode, where we focus all in on PANS PTSD and the parents' own self-care and navigating all of the ups and downs personally of healing with PANS and PANDAS. So if you need some support now, the Facebook group is the place to go. Otherwise, we will see you next episode, all about PANS PTSD, managing expectations up to those big regressions, and then navigating the second half of healing. So we'll see you there.
Bye.
You're listening to Mom and Doc Talks, where we talk all things healing PANS and PANDAS with a special emphasis on homeopathy.